this Matthew's account of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. These verses of Scripture that we're going to study this morning have a very special message to all of us in the sense of the age in which we live, because they tell us that even when we know the absolute truth and we understand all the complications, emotional and spiritual and financial, that are involved in being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, that we can still follow Him, we can please Him, we can do His will. In verse 18 of chapter 8, it is written, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my Father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." And I think that statement is the statement we ought to use this morning as the focus of our attention. And that is, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. We have learned that Jesus came down from the mountain where he had given the discourse that we have called the Sermon on the Mount, and as he came down from the mountain, he healed the leper, he healed the centurion's servant, he healed Peter's mother-in-law, he healed all that were sick, and in all of these things, he fulfilled the prophecy that was written by Isaiah the prophet. And then, as we read in verse 18, Jesus decided to cross to the other side of the Sea of Tiberias. And he did it because he saw great multitudes about him. And Jesus didn't cater to the crowds for the sake of crowds. I think what we have to see in the life of Jesus, that he sought the best circumstances and conditions for teaching the Word of God. Sometimes we would sacrifice the opportunity or the best circumstances to teach the Word of God for the multitudes. We might sacrifice the necessity to teach the Word of God to solitude. But Jesus never gave in to whatever circumstances there were about him so as to neglect to teach and preach the truth. Jesus sought solitude, and sometimes he found it and sometimes he didn't, but in every instance he always taught the Word of God. I rather suspect the incident of Jesus and the woman at the well was somewhat of an intrusion into the solitude that he sought while the others had gone to find something to eat. And yet, in that time of solitude, he shared himself with a poor fallen woman. And here Jesus saw the multitudes coming and congregating and multiplying, and he realized that in this circumstance, his ability to communicate would be greatly detracted from, and so he decided to go across the Sea of Tiberias. And a certain scribe came and said to him, "Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." The Bible tells us here that Jesus gave commandment. And that means that he urged or actually drove on his disciples and ordered that something be done. And the thing that he ordered was that they depart with him and go to the other side of the Sea of Tiberias. And as Jesus made this statement, this command, and laid this injunction upon his people, this religiously educated person, evidently exulting in all that he had seen and all that he had felt as Jesus had healed the people who came or were sick and that he'd cast out demons in that moment of enthusiasm. He said, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And then Jesus spoke to him about one's home and hearth, something that's particularly important, I think, to people who have been involved in Southwest Church for so many years, and that is how important one's family is and how important it is to build a home with deep roots in the Word of God so that the children who are born into that home can feel the security of truth and the security not only of the love of parents committed to God, but also the love of God Himself in a home built for the purpose of family and for God. But Jesus replied to this man and said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. Foxes have dens, wild birds have roosts. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus had no place to call his own. And this was literally true of our Lord. He never had a family except the family he grew up in, the home of Mary and Joseph. But he never had a home of his own. And he simply speaks to the fact that those who would follow him at that particular time must forego the effort to establish a house and a home where one can go and withdraw from the cares and problems of life and be refreshed by the love of wife and the love of children. In verse 21, the Bible tells us that another of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." The word that's translated "suffer" here has a meaning to direct upon or to entrust to anyone. So really this man who came to Jesus, he is a disciple of Jesus, and he says, "Entrust to me and allow me to go and take care of this very important circumstance. Let me go and bury my father." It's a request that he makes that says, "Let me make a good judgment, Lord. Trust me to make a good judgment and to go do the things that I need to do. Allow me to go home and bury my father." I don't think this was a request to go home to his father and care for his father until he died. I think this man's father had died. And I believe that someone had brought him a truth and relayed to him the news of his father's death. And Jesus had said, "I want you to come with me to the other side." And this man said, "Obviously, I cannot go to the other side with you because I need to make disposition of my father's body. I need to go home and bury my father, and trust me to go and spend no more time than is absolutely necessary, and I will rejoin you as quickly as possible." Sometimes people try to make Jesus look good, but intimating that if this man's father had really been dead, he would not have said this to him. But I think this man was genuine in what he said, and I think Jesus was genuine in what he said. Because Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." When Jesus said, "Follow me," he used a term that means, "Be my pupil. Be my learner. Be my student." And it's a term that was used many times of those who were soldiers or those who were servants, and even here as someone who is a student. Jesus said to this man, "Be my student." And the expression that he used here, "let the dead bury the dead," I think was a fairly common expression in the sense that using the word "dead" here means to be removed from the influence of a particular thing. Paul used it when he said that we who have believed in Christ are dead to the law. That is, the law has no more claim upon us. It has no more influence upon us because we are dead to the law. And I believe that Jesus is saying to this man, "Let the dead bury the dead. Let those who are dead to me, who've chosen not to follow me, who've chosen not to believe in me, let them bury those who are physically dead." And that brings up a very important point that I hope we can see together this morning, and that is, we have no obligation to try to defend the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is saying to him that you must stay in my body presence. If you're going to hear every word that I say, if you're going to see everything that I do, so that you can be a witness of me after I am taken back to the Father after my crucifixion. You see, Jesus is teaching these disciples not only for their own personal information, but he's teaching and training them to be witnesses so that they can give true and certain accounts of all the things that Jesus said and did. And it's very important to leave these people on earth when he goes back to be with God the Father. And if this man leaves Jesus at this very crucial part in the ministry, he cannot say with certainty that I saw everything he did, I heard every word he said. And that's why Jesus said to this man, "Be my student. And let those who are dead to this movement, let those who are dead to me, let those who are dead to the excitement and dynamic circumstances of the hour, let them take care of those who are dead." And I don't think we would turn anyone away who asks for an excuse, who can tell us, "I cannot help," or "I cannot be there," or "I cannot go there because my father has died." And it would seem so insensitive for us to refuse to give leave of absence or to give some time to any employee, to any person we ever knew, and say, "You cannot do that." And I think it's very good news for you and for me that Jesus is not asking us to do this today. He's not asking us to not bury our dead. For the good truth is this, that we can be disciples of Jesus because we have what is written in this book. But there is a principle here, and that is, doing God's work should be done and never neglected. To do even the most emotional of tasks, we can bury our dead. We can also learn of him by studying the Word of God. And I think the crucial principle is, do not use family as an excuse for not serving God. And after Jesus had laid these principles out, that those who follow me will not have even as much as the foxes or even as much of the wild birds have. They have permanent homes to go and dwell in, and they have the young to feed. They have their partners. And then such a statement that Jesus said, I think he meant it. I think this man's father was dead, and I think Jesus meant it when he said, be my student. And I think it showed people the urgency of constantly being in the presence of Jesus Christ. And even in the face of these things that the Lord has said, the Bible tells us that when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. After having seen what had occurred between Jesus and the scribes, after having heard what he had said to the man whose father was dead, it seems that these people would be immediately discouraged, that they would have been highly offended by what Jesus said in these circumstances, but Jesus did not offend those who were truly his disciples, for the Bible tells us that his disciples followed him. The real disciples of Jesus Christ are never discouraged by the difficulty of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, for we learn that we can trust him, because as these disciples entered into the ship, I do not think it's coincidence that a great tempest arose in the sea. And the Bible tells us that it was so great that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Follow me. And his disciples followed him. And they're in a ship, and a great storm has arisen, and there is a tempest, and the waves are literally washing up over the ship, and it seems that it will be swamped and sink at any moment. And Jesus is asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Mark captured another side of their plea, which was even an accusation, and it was this: carest thou not that we perish? Jesus had said, follow me, and he got on a ship, and his disciples followed him, and then almost immediately there was the surging of the sea, there was the billows of the waves, and they are now thinking that they will soon die, and they're saying to the Lord, don't you even care that we're in these circumstances? But you know, our Lord never asked us to follow him into a circumstance from which he will not deliver us. When Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, and then he said, it's going to be tough. It's going to interfere with your home life. It's going to interfere with your family. And sometimes the choice you're going to have to make is between that which is so emotionally tugging to us and that which is just totally reasonable. You're going to have to make some bad decisions in the sense of how the world looks at it. You're going to have to make some really tough decisions about you and your family and life itself. And they heard him, and they got on the ship, and they followed Jesus. But trouble broke out. It sort of gives a lie to the idea that if you'll follow Jesus, life will be smooth sailing from then on. And that's the kind of prosperity gospel that's being preached today. Believe in Jesus and things, and the calm waves of the sea of life will come. No, follow Jesus, and the waves will come. Follow Jesus and the deprivation will set in. Follow Jesus and the misunderstandings will accumulate. But there's one thing we need to understand, that their fear was based not upon the powerlessness of Jesus, nor the threat of the time, their fear was based in their lack of faith. Jesus said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Why are you acting like a coward is really what this word, why are you fearful? It means to have on the inside of you the sensation of fear. Why do you have this sensation of fear in you? Why are you acting so cowardly? Why are you accusing me of not caring for you? Just because the waves are washing over the ship and it looks as though you may perish any moment. Why have you looked at me and said, you don't care? And he diagnosed the circumstance in these people's hearts that allowed the sensation of fear to drive them to make accusations they were not true. And that is, it was a lack of faith. And then Jesus rebuked not them, but he rebuked the waves. He admonished strongly the waves that had created this circumstance of fear in the heart of his disciples. And calm came to that circumstance. And the Bible tells us that his disciples marveled. They looked on with wonder and amazement and said, "What kind of man is this?" And I can tell you what kind of man he is. He's the man who died for you. He's the man who died for me. He is the one who created all things. He is God of God. He could have dried up the waves. He could have caused them to be a dry land to appear. Or he could have whisked the ship away with just one sound of his voice. I know what kind of man he is, and so do you. And so did these people learn what kind of man Jesus is. He's the kind of man who would never say, "Follow me," and then forsake us when the going gets rough. Jesus bids us do his will, and we can know his will, and we can do his will. And we can also know that he will never ask us to go beyond his help.